Good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's telephone town hall hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise, also known as HPTE. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk about the I-70 Mountain Express Lanes project with Trey Rogers, HPTE board member, Peter Kaczynski, I-70 Mountain Express Lanes project manager, and Clear Creek County Commissioner Tim Mock from Idaho Springs, as well as Megan Castle representing the HPTE. We have called residents throughout the metro area who travel the I-70 Mountain Corridor, as well as communities along I-70 in the mountains. We expect an interesting conversation and hope you will stay on the line and participate. Let me tell you a little bit about tonight's format. We want this to be very interactive, so if you'd like to ask our panel a question, please press *3 on your telephone keypad, and you will be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information. Once the operator notes your information, you'll be returned to the call and can listen to the conversation until it's your turn. So again, press *3 on your keypad to ask a question. Tonight, we will give an overview of the I-70 Mountain Express Lane project and what you can expect in terms of travel time benefits and toll costs when the eastbound express lanes from Empire to Idaho Springs opens this winter. Our panelists will give you some brief thoughts and information on the subject, and then we would love to get your questions. Since our panel would like to hear from as many people as possible, we will limit all callers to only one question. When it's your turn, I'll call your name and ask you to repeat your question for our live audience. We'll also be asking some survey questions later during the call, and I'll explain that process to you in a few minutes. And once again, press *3 on your keypad to ask a question. Now let's turn the call over to Trey Rogers. Trey is a member of the Transportation Commission as well as the HPTE board. Trey, would you introduce yourself, please, and get us started?
Thanks, Roger. Trey Rogers, HPTE board member. I appreciate everyone participating tonight. I'm a member of the board, and it's really exciting to have everyone on the phone to hear about this new development in the I-70 Mountain Corridor. We've been working hard to build an I-70 corridor, mountain corridor that gets you and your family back from the mountains as quickly and as safely as possible during heavy traffic periods. Long studies required by the federal government have concluded, and now we're building projects designed to make your trip better. Beginning with the widening of the eastbound Veterans Memorial Tunnel in Idaho Springs, which opened in 2013, and now with the eastbound I-70 Mountain Express Lane, CDOT is focused on building small improvements with immediate impact on travel times and safety, while we look for a comprehensive corridor-wide solution. It's all part of the new era of transportation for CDOT, defined by innovation and managing traffic more efficiently.
All right, thank you, Trey. Next, I'd like to call on Peter Kaczynski. Peter, please introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the I-70 Mountain Express Lane project. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. Pleasure to be here. My name is Peter Kaczynski, and I'm with the Colorado Department of Transportation, and I work on major projects within CDOT. I'd like to start off explaining a little bit about how we got here, a quick overview of the project, which will begin operations this winter with the hopes of trying to improve your travel time home from the mountains. So as Trey mentioned, we started this project a while ago. This is the first major project in the Mountain Corridor since the decision document for the Mountain Corridor was signed back in 2011. This project really kicked off on the heels of the widening of the Veterans Memorial Tunnel just east of Idaho Springs. With that project, we added a third lane to the bottom of Floyd Hill, which has eased congestion in this area ever since its opening in December of 2013. Before the end of this year, we will open a new lane to help you navigate through the heavy weekend traffic on the Mountain Corridor. The I-70 Mountain Express Lane will run the 13 miles from Empire Junction, where US 40 joins I-70, through the tunnels to the base of Floyd Hill. This lane will operate about 72 days a year, predominantly on weekends and on holiday seasons, and will be a shoulder when it's not being used in this capacity. The I-70 Mountain Express Lane will be open by the end of this year, providing drivers a safe, reliable choice for navigating through the heavy traffic.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Again, if you've just joined us, and you'd like to ask a question, our focus is on the I-70 Mountain Express Lane. In addition to tonight's call, we encourage you to attend the public meeting we have scheduled in Idaho Springs on September 29th. For time and location, visit expresslanes.codot.gov. If you have a question, please press star 3 and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information. And we are having just a little bit of technical issues on our call, so don't hang up because we're going to just move on and ask Tim Mock, Commissioner Mock, to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about this project. Go ahead.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you again for everyone joining us tonight. My name is Tim Mock, and I'm a Click Creek County Commissioner. We've managed to partner with CDOT on this project because it's so important to all of us that we manage congestion on the I-70 corridor in the mountains. I'm here to remind you that historic Idaho Springs, with all its great restaurants, shops, and historic sites, remains open during the I-70 Mountain Express lane construction. It's been hard to get on and off, but all of that will end shortly, and I hope that everyone takes the opportunity to support the local merchants, many of whom have served the mountain travelers for several decades. Clear Creek County is where the Gold Rush began, offers a wide variety of historic and outdoor adventures and opportunities, and I just encourage everybody to come up and visit us and enjoy our community year-round.
All right, Commissioner, thank you. Why don't we take our first call from Robert. Robert, go ahead, Robert.
Eastbound on Idaho Springs, and how far is it going to be down there?
Robert, why don't you have repeat that question? You were cut off right at the beginning.
Okay, when does that toll lane start when you head east out of Idaho Springs, and where does it end?
Hi, Roger. This is Peter Kaczynski again. The lane actually starts where US 40 merges on at Empire Junction. So the way this lane is going to operate is if you're coming eastbound from the Eisenhower Memorial Tunnels, coming down the hill through Georgetown, there'll be signs directing you into this lane if you choose to go that direction. Also, for the folks coming in on US 40, you'll have an opportunity to merge over to the left and use that lane. So about a mile or so after US 40 joins will be the first location where a toll would be registered. So that same rate that you pass through underneath that toll gantry would be the rate for taking the entire trip through the 13-mile corridor.
All right, very good. Let's go to George next. George, what is your question tonight?
My question is, who financed the project, and why is there a toll?
George, Trey Rogers here from the board. Good question. So the project was funded from a variety of sources, including a $25 million loan taken out by the HPTE, and that loan will be repaid by revenues generated from the lane, from the tolls in the lane. The other funds were from kind of one-time sources that we were able to find to pay for part of the project. Thank you.
All right, next we're going to go to Nicole. Nicole, go ahead with your question.
I was wondering, how much are the tolls going to cost? And I was just wondering, is there a discount for those who are driving local as opposed to those who are crossing country?
Nicole, hi, this is Peter Kaczynski again. Thank you for the question. We know that the toll rates are on everyone's mind, so I appreciate you bringing this up, and we can start talking about it. The objective of this lane is to really make sure that we provide the people who choose to use this lane the reliable trip. And so we are proposing a tolling scenario where we would adjust the tolls somewhere between $3 and $30, depending on the demand, so that we can make sure that a reliable trip is had by those folks that use that lane. We are not at this point in time or haven't heard suggestion that there should be a differing rate for folks that are traveling cross-country or anything along those lines. But we will definitely take that into consideration as we try and work through all of the process and find the best tolling scenario.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And Peter, thank you for that. Good question so far. Why don't we, again, let me just remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 3. You'll be transferred to a operator who will take down some quick information. Why don't we pause here for a second and take our first survey question. Participating is really easy. All you have to do is use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. So here is our first question of the evening. Do you currently have an Express Toll account and pass? Press 1 if your answer is yes. Press 2 if your answer is no. And press 3 if you're planning to get one. Again, yes, 1, no, 2, and 3 if you're planning to get one. Go ahead and vote now, and we will share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we're going to take another question. Again, don't forget to press star 3 if you'd like to ask a question. Go next to Sam. Sam, go ahead.
There was talk early on about a sound suppression wall in the Dumont Lawson area. Is that still viable?
Sam, this is Peter Kaczynski again. Really quickly, we want to make sure that we understand what's being done out there. As you'll note, this lane that we're adding is a shoulder and will remain a shoulder the majority of the time. So this is not a capacity project. This is an operational project. So in the area of noise mitigation, we wouldn't be in a situation or have an opportunity to build any type of noise abatement unless there is a permanent lane built. And it hasn't been determined whether or not a permanent third lane should be built in this area. So it's a little bit premature for us to be talking about any type of mitigation for impacts, as this project is really an operational improvement and not a significant capacity improvement.
All right, thanks, Peter. Here are the results of our first survey question. Again, we asked, do you currently have an Express Toll account and pass? And 22% said yes, 6% said you're planning to get one, 72% said no. We're hoping we'll convince you to reconsider that tonight as you learn more about the Express Lane program along the corridor. Why don't we go next to Mr. Cousins? Mr. Cousins, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I was just curious if there's any chance the board and the powers that be have considered, instead of taxing and having the citizens of Colorado pay for projects like this, which just seem endless, by the way, having toll booths entering and exiting the state, 25 and 75, in and out, buck each way, would probably pay for it and alleviate the taxpayers of Colorado from constantly having to pay for everybody else's travel, for those of us that don't go up there but a couple times a year?
Mr. Cousins, good question. This is Trey Rogers again. So the idea of the lane is that those who choose to use it and drive on that corridor will pay for the cost, as opposed to having out-of-state visitors or others who use our interstates pay. We want those who are using this corridor and using this lane to pay the cost. And
but that's
of course,
after it's already built. What about, we're getting dinged for it now, just like the Boulder Highway, just like the light rail. I mean, it's like endless, project after
right.
project after project, and we get dinged for it, and that
right.
would alleviate us getting dinged for it, is my point. Sorry to interrupt. I apologize.
No problem. The concept, again, is those who use the lane and who use the corridor and choose to use the lane would pay for it. And no one's got to pay for this. No one's got to use that lane. No one's got to pay the toll. And this lane ought to generate revenue sufficient to pay down the money that's borrowed to build it. So that's the concept, and it's really a new kind of a new concept as our transportation budget has decreased and shrunk. We've had to find other ways to pay for expansion, and this is one way to charge a toll to those who choose to use a lane like this. Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Trey. Let's go next to Katie. Katie, thanks for holding. What's your question?
Hi. You indicated that the actual toll for this lane was going to be variable based on time of day, I'm assuming, and demand. And so I'm having trouble understanding, if you're driving down the road, how you're going to know what the toll is if you want to make a decision on the fly whether you want to spend the money for it or not.
Hi, Katie. This is Megan. Thanks for your question. So it is important that we give you information to know when the lane will be open. So there's going to be signage to indicate if the express lane is open, as well as the prices that you'll be charged. And that's all going to be also on CoTrip, and it can be delivered through CDOT's Gov delivery system. So if you wanted to have an email or a text sent to you, you could do that. But also if you're driving the corridor, there will be signage that will tell you about the tolls. And the tolls are going to be in a range, as we discussed. They'll be in a range to set based upon demand. And the fewer number of cars in the lane, then the lower the price will be to encourage use. And again, the range is from $3 to $30. It'll start out maybe around $3, and it will just go up probably in $5 type increments in order to accommodate that incoming traffic. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan. Let's go next to Bob. Bob, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Is the express lane delineated from the rest of the lanes because there's going to be an accident, and how will they be rerouted?
Hi, Bob. This is Peter Kaczynski again. Thank you so much for the question. Excellent question, yes, because let's not forget the mission of CDOT first and foremost is to make sure that we have safe roads out there. So the way we're going to be able to monitor this stretch of road, the 10 miles of the express lane plus 3 miles to the base of Floyd Hill, is we're going to have full video cameras looking at this corridor at all times when it's operated. And it will be designed and designated as a shoulder when not in use as a lane by the overhead signs that are going to say whether it's open or not. There will be a solid white line on your left-hand side, which will indicate kind of a shoulder area. So you'll see pretty clearly when the lane is open and when it's closed. Now, when we do have an accident on the corridor, we're going to be able to use that shoulder to make sure that we have more than just one lane getting around an accident. So we're going to have a lot more versatility in this corridor by having that extra width and the signs that are necessary to control around an accident.
All right, thanks, Peter. Again, if you have a question, please press star 3. We'll get you in the queue. Before we take our next question, why don't we ask a survey question? It's a lot of questions. To participate again, just use your telephone keypad to enter the number of your response. So here's question number 2. Which are the most important questions you have about the I-70 Mountain Express Lane? So press 1 if the most important question to you is the price of the toll you will be charged to use the express lanes. Press 2 if the most important question is if you always have a free alternative. Is if you always have a free alternative. Press 3 if the most important question is your travel time between the mountains and Denver. And press 4 if the most important question is how the I-70 Mountain Express Lane will work. So let me quickly press 1 if it's the price of the toll, 2 if it's always having a free alternative, 3 if it's the travel time between mountains and Denver, and 4 if it's how the express lane will work. Please press the number now, record your vote. I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes, and while you're voting, we'll take another question, this time from Brian. Go ahead.
Hello. I was wondering if the timing on the metering lights from US 40 onto I-70 is going to be decreased to a reasonable span. Last year, the lights were cycling at about 15 to 16 seconds, and traffic was backed up at times 3 and 4 miles to the north of Empire.
Megan, go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. So to answer your question, basically, we're always looking to adjusting the metering lights, and it's to meet our goal to improve operations.
All right, here are the results of our second question. Again, we asked what's the most important issue or question you have about the I-70 Mountain Express lane. 38% said, will you always have a free alternative? And 22%, how will the express lane work? So we'll talk about both of those here as the call continues. Thanks for participating. We'll have a couple more questions here shortly, and we're going to go next to John. John, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, the deadline, I understand, is December 15th. What if it snows, or I should say, when it snows? Is that deadline going to be moved back?
John, thank you for the question. Yes, we are shooting for a mid-December completion date, and we're feeling actually quite comfortable with that anticipated completion date. If you've been up there recently, you'll see that a lot of the paving in the eastbound direction is done. That was definitely one of our critical items. We had to get that asphalt down before temperatures dropped. So we're feeling pretty good about the completion date. A lot of the activities that will lead us up to that date are kind of our back office things. That's working on the electronics for the signs, the connectivity with a lot of the toll reading equipment, those type of things. That is done in a closed environment, so the weather shouldn't impact us there. So we're feeling really comfortable that we're going to hit a mid-December open date.
All right. Next is Kathleen. What's your question tonight?
I think some people have, you guys have touched on it a little bit, but maybe a little more in detail. The range of $3 to $30, that's a pretty big range. So how's that going to work again?
Hi, Kathleen. This is Megan. So, right, it is going to be a range from $3 to $30. So $3 would be the opening amount when it starts. And it's based upon congestion toll pricing to design to balance the traffic volume in the express lane and provide the reliable travel times. We're going to be monitoring the traffic coming from the tunnels and also coming over Berthoud Pass and then look to set that price in order to provide that reliable travel time. So the price will go up or down based upon the amount of volume that the CDOT is seeing coming into that express lane corridor. Thank you.
All right, good questions tonight. Let's go next to Ken. Ken, go ahead.
My question would be to you is once that the loans have been paid, would the toll on this road, on this lane, drop, or would it continue?
Peter, go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Ken. We know this is at the heart of everyone's mind. Once the loan is paid off, we do not envision that we would make it a free lane for a few reasons. First, as was mentioned earlier, this really isn't designed to be a lane 24/7. This is really to be used during peak periods. And we want to make sure as we're, you know, offering this service to people, we're never taking away the two free lanes. So this is a service. If you want that reliable trip back to Denver, you don't want to sit in the congestion, we want to make sure that if you're willing to pay for it, you can get that. And so as a result, the only way to do that is to continue to charge the toll. If it was free, much like we saw in a lot of other projects we've built around Colorado, it would get inundated with people very quickly and would basically break down, and we'd have the same situation that we had before we even started this project.
Okay, next is Ray. Ray, what's your question tonight?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I just wanted to say, first of all, that I appreciate the express lane. I think it's going to be a great addition to the I-70 corridor to help mitigate traffic. My question is around the way this is going to be paid for. I understand that you need to have a transponder in your vehicle. How much does that cost? Where is it placed? How do you get it? And what other method is there of paying that toll?
Thank you. So, yes, you are right. If you want to pay or if you want to use the express lanes and be charged a toll and not other prices that are charged along with that, if you have a license plate toll, you want to have a pass. So first and foremost, you want to open up an express toll account and get a pass. You can call 303-537-3470, or you can go online at www.expresstoll.com, set up an account either online or over the phone. You can, by talking to them, you can decide whether or not you want to get a sticker tag And you would have to set up an account, get a sticker, and that would allow you to be charged just the tolls. Or you could get a switchable HOV transponder if you plan to be traveling in other express lanes around the metro area that might you would be carpooling at. So we just encourage you to get the express toll, a pass, an account, and you will be good to go in those express lanes. Thank you.
All right. Nancy, it's your turn. Go ahead with your question.
Wonderful. My question is just what vehicles will be allowed in the express lane, mainly meaning will semis also be able to pay and be in this lane?
Nancy, thank you so much for the question. It's actually something that we've been struggling with and have given a lot of consideration to. I wish you could visualize the cross-section of that road with me, but it's really going to be a shoulder that's converted to a lane during peak periods. It's going to be 11 feet wide, which is substandard from our current lane width of 12 feet, and it's going to be very close to the edge of the existing pavement, and it's going to be right next to another 11-foot lane. So we're going to be fairly restrictive in our recommendations on what is allowed in there. So on opening day, and we're envisioning this to be for the next year or so as we really understand this lane, we're not going to be supporting the use of this lane by anything other than vehicles with two axles and shorter than 25 feet in length. So your tractor trailer, your person carrying the pop-up, anything like that would be not allowed to use this lane at this point in time.
Thanks, Peter. Megan, before we take more calls, I think you have some insights to share that relate directly to the responses of our first two questions. Go ahead.
Thanks, Roger. Yes, I wanted to discuss tolling and how the I-70 Mountain Express lane will operate. First, it's important to know that travelers are never forced to pay a toll, and you can always choose to travel in the free adjacent general purpose lanes. And if motorists choose the express lane to get there faster, then they'll pay a toll. The I-70 Mountain Express lane will operate eastbound only on the inside shoulder. Drivers will know the lane is open by the signage that posts the toll price. Toll prices will also be posted on cotrip.org. When the lanes are open, drivers coming eastbound on I-70 and US 40 will enter at Empire Junction for the 13-mile trip. There's also an opportunity to enter the lane near the Veterans Memorial Tunnel. Drivers who choose to use this simply have to merge it into the inside express lane, and all tolls will be collected electronically. The I-70 Mountain Express lane will use a responsive pricing system in which tolls can change in price depending upon the number of vehicles traveling in the corridor. As traffic increases, the toll price increases, helping to keep travelers moving on the express lane. Overhead variable message signs are updated on the highway in real time and show the toll rate at that time. Drivers are charged the toll price posted when they enter the lane. The price can range anywhere from $3 to a maximum of $30 to ensure that speeds don't fall below the 40 miles per hour in times of peak congestion. You'll have two options to pay to use the lane, an express toll account and pass, or using license plate toll. Express toll account and passes save money every trip. License plate toll bills will be sent to the registered vehicle owner, and it will be higher than if you have an express toll account to cover the administrative costs. Either a switchable HOV transponder on toll mode or an express toll sticker pass can be used in the I-70 Mountain Express lane. However, HOV or carpoolers, motorcyclers, and hybrids will likely not travel for free in the lanes. This is because the average occupancy in the lane is already 3.2 persons per vehicle, and to ensure reliable speeds, each vehicle must pay a toll. Also, vehicles with more than two axles, buses, and trailers will not be allowed in lanes due to safety reasons and in order to maintain that reliable speed. We want to remind everyone that CDOT focuses on safety, and during snowstorms, CDOT may choose to close the express lane until conditions improve.
Thanks, Megan. For those of you who joined us late, good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's Telephone Town Hall, hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk about the I-70 Mountain Express Lane project. You can participate in the discussion by pressing star 3 on your keypad if you wish to ask a question. You'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information and get you in the queue. So again, star 3 on your keypad to ask a question. This might also be a good time to mention that if you need to leave the call early, We have about a half an hour left, but if you need to leave early, you can always press star 9 to leave a comment or question on our voicemail system. So again, star 3 to ask a question live with our audience, and star 9 to leave a voice message. Why don't we do another polling question before we take questions? Here's the third polling question. To cover the cost of processing a license plate toll option for express lanes, users who do not have an express pass, CDOT will charge a license plate toll fee. So if you don't have an express pass, CDOT's going to charge you a license plate toll fee. What kind of license plate toll fee should be charged? Press 1 if you think they should be charged a flat fee, for example, $10 regardless of the price of the current toll. Press 2 if you think they should be charged a percentage of the toll. So for example, currently US 36 is 50% of the amount of that, and that amount varies depending on the current toll rate. Press 3 if you think it should be another method. And press 4 if you just don't have an opinion about this question. So again, press 1 if you think there should be an additional flat fee. Press 2 if it should be a percentage. And if you have another idea, press 3. And if you're not sure, press 4. Please record your vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we're going to take another question from John. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I was wondering, how are you going to restrict drivers from dashing in and out of the lane when there's the respondent, the thing that shows that they should be paying a toll if they're doing that in between? That's just going to slow down traffic.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate the question. This is something we're very concerned about. We anticipate that the people that are in the tolled express lane are going to definitely be moving faster than the folks in the general purpose lanes, giving them that extra trip reliability. So we are going to have to work hard with our local law enforcement agencies up there to make sure that people that cross the white line when this is an operation are noted for that evasion of the toll and also for breaking the rules of the road as it relates to crossing a solid white line.
All right, Peter, thanks. Here are the results of our third polling question. Again, we asked what kind of fee or option would you favor for CDOT to use to cover the processing costs for a license plate toll option? And 30% of you said it should be a percentage of the toll. 26% said a flat fee. 29% aren't sure, but we really appreciate your input. CDOT's evaluating this now, so it's very helpful. Let's go next to our next question. We're going to call on Chris. Chris, you've been holding for a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a quick question to ask. First of all, I asked about the operator about the toll, and you guys kind of answered my question. So my next question is, if they're going to charge a toll to use this road or this lane, can you explain to me then where our gas taxes go to?
Chris, that's a great question. Trey Rogers here. You're right. Gas tax is the primary way that we fund our roads in Colorado. Neither the federal nor the state gas tax has increased since the early 90s, and there doesn't seem to be a willingness either among the people in Colorado or in Congress to increase it anytime soon. So at the same time that those taxes have been flat in terms of pennies per gallon, fuel efficiency has increased. And so the result is we have fewer dollars collected per mile traveled, and we have an erosion of the value of that gas tax income. So the result of that is that we are funding inflation at about the same rate we were funding it in the early 70s on an inflation-adjusted basis. At the same time, we have added millions of people to our population. So as a result of all those forces, CDOT's had to be creative in determining how to pay for new projects. And this lane, this toll lane, is one way to ask those who want to use the lane and get there a little faster to pay, while still leaving two lanes, the same number of lanes we have today, available for those who want to have a free trip. Thanks for your question.
Trey, Thank you very much. Next is Helen. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'd like to compliment the many people who have called with smart questions, and also to you all for holding this little session. There seems to be a trend where building bigger is the thing. I think what I'd like to address, is there any consideration for having a park and ride? I realize you guys are talking beyond that, but for many people, this could be a solution. It could be a solution. And I guess I have to note that only those with more money will be able to take advantage of this. And because the width is substandard, as I used to work in highway and civil engineering, we've got kind of a dangerous problem. So I guess that's everything I want to say. Thanks.
That's good, Helen. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, Helen. This is Steve Harrelson. I'm an engineer with CDOT. We have built some park and rides. There's a large park and ride that I personally built at the Hogback there, right at I-70, about 10 years ago. And I think it will hold close to 1,500 cars, that whole complex. In addition to that, CDOT has recently implemented a program called Bustang, which provides bus service from Glenwood Springs into Denver, as well as along the Front Range. So public transportation and park and rides are part of our mission, and we have worked towards that.
All right, thank you. Jan, you're next with your question. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering if this lane is only going to be available on weekends. Is that when you expect? I know there's more traffic then than during the week. But will it be available during the week? Is it just purely subject to the amount of traffic, so it doesn't matter what day?
Jan, thank you for the question. We have an agreement that we can operate this shoulder and convert it into a lane and use it for 72 days during a given year. So it will not be open 24/7, 365 days a year. It'll really be open during the peak periods. If you look at the calendar with the 52 weeks, we anticipate that we're going to be able to have it open on the Saturdays and Sundays during the 16-week ski season, on the Saturdays and Sundays through the holiday, the summer holiday seasons, giving us about 16 days of other usage. So for your long weekends and those type of things, we'll be able to open it during those periods of time. But it will not be open all the time. We want to make sure that we have that shoulder there for safety purposes, snow storage, everything the shoulder is designed for.
Thanks, Peter. Jane, you're next. Go ahead with your question.
Well, it sounds to me that if people are going to pay to go on the express lane, then the cars are going to go faster in the other two lanes. But my question is, will people be able to get out of the express lane, or once you're in there, are you in there for the 13 miles? Can you get off at any other places, like in Idaho Springs?
Thanks. Jane, Megan?
Sure. We're encouraging people to get in the express lane and stay in there for the 13 miles. If you're interested in going to Idaho Springs, we want you to look at the two free lanes. They will be available for you to go to exit at Idaho Springs, and there is a single white line, and it's showing that people need to stay in the express lane for safety purposes. Thank you.
All right, next up is Jack. Go ahead, Jack, with your question.
Well, I think that my question has already been answered, but may I ask another question other than the one I asked the operator about?
You bet. Go right ahead.
Well, when we're talking about taxing, why don't you run a survey on indexing the motor fuel tax? I know you see, a lot of people don't realize that the airport is under CDOT also. And about 10 years ago, you started indexing the aviation fuel. And the reason I say this is, you know, if gas goes up to $25 a gallon, you still only get a few pennies for it. And then when, if you index it, then it's really not that much. I don't think it's like applying a tax onto the citizens if you index it. And so
Trey,
as the price of gas goes up, you benefit from the CDOT benefits.
What do you think about that, Trey?
Jack, good question. And perhaps a good policy idea under our Tabor Amendment, an indexing of our gas tax would require a statewide vote of the people. I know that I've seen a few polls that suggest that there just isn't any appetite for that, for indexing or an increase or any other kind of adjustment to the gas tax. So unfortunately, under between Tabor and kind of a reluctance to increase the gas tax, we are stuck with the state gas tax we've got now, and we're looking for other creative solutions to deal with our problems. Thanks for your question.
Thanks, Trey. Okay, here is our final survey question for everyone. Again, just press the keypad on your phone to register your vote. The question is, did you know you can save money on tolls if you have an express toll pass? Our final question is, where do you think you can get a pass? Press 1 if you to visit the E470 offices. Press 2 for requesting one by phone. Press 3 for order online. Press 4 for pickup at a local store. And press 5 for all the above. So where do you think you can get a pass? 1, E470 office, 2 by phone, 3 online, 4 at a local store, and 5 for all the above. Please request your register your vote now, and I will share the results with you in just a minute. And while you're voting, we're going to get to another question from Kitty Rue. Kitty, go ahead.
Thank you. I've been waiting quite a while. So I have several questions. Okay, my husband had a question because this is the first time we've heard of this. Even though we travel every weekend, we go to Winter Park. And so we take the Empire Cutoff. Where does it start and where does it end? Is anyone there?
Yes, Katie, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand your question. So you're asking where does the toll lane start and end? If that's the question, it starts just west of Empire Junction. So for those folks coming eastbound on I-70 from the Eisenhower-Johnson Memorial Tunnel, will have an opportunity to get into that lane before they go underneath the US 40 bridge. And those folks that are joining I-70 from US 40 will have the opportunity to merge over after they take the ramp onto I-70 and enter into that lane. That lane will carry you all the way through the 13-mile corridor to the base of Floyd Hill, where there are 3 free general-purpose lanes that will take you the rest of the trip into Denver.
All right, thanks, Peter. Here is the results of our final polling question. We asked, where do you think you can pick up an express toll pass? 20%, well, 68% said all of the above. 20% said online, and we're going to let you know and reconfirm who was right here in just a minute. It is all of the above, so a lot of you got that right. Let's go next to Tom. You've been holding a long time as well. What's your question?
I guess my biggest question is, how come I noticed the toll lanes popping up everywhere, and I'm wondering how come CDOT is now only catering to the rich or people that can afford these? I would love to travel in a lane like this. I can't afford to.
Trey Rogers here. That's a fair question. You know, as we've talked about a lot tonight, this solution is one that's really born out of necessity. We don't have the money at CDOT to just build additional general purpose lanes, and if we did, it wouldn't really be a solution to the congestion. This is a creative way to address the problem. And the good news is, even for those who don't travel in the lanes, the fact that there will be those who do choose to pay the toll and travel in the toll lane will reduce the number of cars in the free lanes. So really, everyone benefits, even those who don't choose to or can't afford to pay the toll to use the lanes. Thanks for your question.
Okay, next up is Paul. Paul, go ahead with your question tonight.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. We've been traveling to Denver during this construction process, and I thought that I'd observed that the lanes may be narrower than normal, and I believe that was confirmed that the shoulder lane is a foot narrower, and I believe you said even the lane next to it's going to be narrower. My concern is, how can you address the safety factor when you're saying people in the toll lane will be going much faster than perhaps me in the free lane, and my lane is narrower and their lane is narrower? Appreciate your comments.
Well, thank you, Paul. I mean, safety, again, is very important to us. We want to make sure that we are providing a safe service out there. Now, you're absolutely correct. The lanes that I described are going to be a foot narrower than a standard lane. However, given the speeds that the corridor sees, and if you've been driving this thing, you know that those speeds drop down to sometimes very slow, and we want to make sure that, you know, the safety of the people who are using this lane and those that are in the general purpose lane are not compromised with this slightly narrower road. So our analysis suggests that, you know, this lane and the lane next to it is not going to sacrifice any of its safety capabilities when it's in use. Now, again, please remember that this is only during peak periods. We want to have that shoulder there when it's not needed for capacity.
All right, next up is Donald. What's your question tonight?
Yeah, I had several questions. I've heard most of them answered. What I'm most concerned about, you know, you guys keep stressing safety. You know, accidents do happen, and we have a need for emergency equipment to get up and down that highway. How are you going to handle the emergency equipment getting up and down there? Are you going to be able to allow people to get off of the toll lane and then back on?
Great question, Donald. Peter, do you want to take that?
Very, very important question for everybody on the corridor. One of the elements of this project is a lot of dynamic signs. So we're going to be able to turn on and off the use of this lane in a split second. We're going to be able to tell people that it's no longer available for them for capacity so that the emergency responders can use that lane if needed to respond to an accident. If that accident happens to be, say, in the far right-hand lane and is blocking one of the general purpose lanes that will remain free, we will suspend toll operations and allow people to use the shoulder lane for free so that we can still get people around that accident, get the emergency responders to them, have a safe working environment, and allow the corridor to operate still effectively.
All right, very good. JP, you're next. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I'm just curious about why such a stopgap measure. We talk about expected travel time. We know what the expected travel time is, and I don't see where this benefits anybody with the problem that the road's overcrowded.
JP, Trey Rogers here. Thanks for that question. You know, this is the approach that we've taken, that CDOT has taken on this corridor, is to find a number of small incremental upgrades that do reduce travel time while maintaining safety on the corridor. So, you know, the expansion of the twin tunnels eliminated one bottleneck. That was relative to fixing the entire corridor, a very inexpensive fix, and we got some immediate benefit in travel time out of that. This is another one, a relatively inexpensive fix that's going to have an immediate impact on travel time and get people down from the mountains faster on those busy weekends. You know, while we're looking for and trying to determine how to fund a more comprehensive solution, we're pursuing these small, lower-cost incremental pieces that really do have an impact on travel time. You know, we hope eventually to find a solution for the rest of the corridor, but this is a good solution in the short term. Thanks for your question.
All right, very good questions here. Let's go to Alex next. You're live. What's your question tonight?
Yeah, I would like to know if this is entirely will the revenues go entirely to the state of Colorado, or are there any private companies involved?
Alex, Trey Rogers here again. Thanks for your question.
Like
so
Boulder Turnpike.
like the Boulder Turnpike, exactly. No, this is there's no private partner here. This work is being done by CDOT and CDOT contractors. The revenue will also come to CDOT, and it will be used to pay off the loan that was taken out to build the road. Appreciate your question.
All right, great questions. We're going to get through a few more. Brad, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this forum. My question is, if I have a flat tire and I just want to pull off, where do I go? Because it seems like I'm going to have a fast lane on the right, and when it's not congested, a fast lane on the left.
Brad, thank you so much for the question. As I've said in the past, you know, one of the interesting aspects of this project is that we are going to have dynamic control of the signs on the corridor. So we're going to be able to shut down any of the lanes and allow people that may be having engine trouble, a flat tire, any of those type of things to be in a safe place while still moving traffic around them. So the emergency responders can get to them. When this lane is operating, we're also going to have courtesy patrol at all times. So if there is a vehicle in distress, we can get our services out to them, provide them the gas, fix the flat tire, whatever the problem is, and get them out of harm's way as quickly as possible. So we are looking into and making sure that all of those elements are thought out before we turn this thing on.
Next up is David. Go right ahead. You're live with our audience.
Yeah, hi. I might have missed this question earlier, but I'm wondering, once you've entered the toll lane, and let's say, for instance, it's $3, and there's a run in traffic, will you have a toll increase while you're in the toll lane, or is it going to be the same price once you're in that lane for the duration of the 15 or 16 miles that you travel? Thanks.
Hi, David. This is Megan. Thanks for your question. So once you enter the toll lane, you will be charged the amount that is advertised or that the sign says, and it will not change whether the amount goes up or down.
All right. So let's go next to Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes. I have a couple questions. The specific sources of the funding, I'd just be curious to know what those are as opposed to the $25 million that we're paying back. And when that $25 million is paid back, you said that the fees are still charged. I'm curious where that money will go to, if that's going to go out of county since this impact is in the county, and I do feel for Idaho Springs and that you can't get out of that fast lane to get to Idaho Springs. Because I do feel that actually the third lane does reduce traffic, as opposed to the conversation that says really the third lane doesn't reduce traffic. If it were just open, it actually would reduce congestion, whether you pay or you don't pay. I do feel it's a little skewed to the wealthy. Thanks.
This is Trey Rogers again. Those are good questions. With regard to other sources of funding, in addition to the $25 million loan, the balance of the project was paid for out of CDOT funds. In other words, paid for out of gas tax and federal dollars that CDOT gets. With regard to what happens once the loan is paid off, you know, the lane will continue to be used in the same manner. And the reason for that is, as long as that toll is charged, the lane will have less traffic in it. It will be a faster alternative. And so folks who want to continue to pay the toll can continue to use the lane. Now, what will happen to those dollars once the loan is paid off? They will all stay in that corridor for projects and improvements in that corridor. So again, those who pay the tolls will see the benefit of paying the tolls there in that on that roadway and in that area. And then I think the last part of the question was, doesn't this favor the rich? And again, you know, those who choose to pay the toll will get a faster trip, but even those who choose to not pay the toll and are in the general purpose lanes will benefit because there will be all those cars that choose to pay the toll over in that toll lane. So really, everyone gets a choice and everyone gets a benefit. Thanks for your question.
All right. Thanks, Trey. Harold, you're next. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is the money that we get from the marijuana and the gambling was supposed to go to the schools, but this looks like the states are not using it and can't use it. Why can't we not use some of that money to pay for everything? And since California burnt down here last week, I'm figuring we're going to get another 100,000 people in here that are going to take over the highways and try to find places to live. And that's going to really put a bind on everything. And that's going to the congestion coming from the east to the west is really going to be bad. It's just common sense to use that money because they can't do anything with it, I guess. That's what they're telling us.
Harold, good question. Well, first of all, there's no doubt that Colorado is going to continue to grow. We are going to have more people in the state, and I think we're going to have to continue to use creative means of financing new road projects to get us all around the state. With regard to lottery funds or marijuana taxes, you know, those are either constitutionally or legislatively assigned to other purposes and really can't be changed to be used for the road, for the roads. So this is what we've got. We've got our gas tax, we've got a federal gas tax, and then we've got creative means like this to toll a new lane so those who want to use it can take advantage of it. Appreciate your question.
All right, next is Suzanne. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is, if you are in the toll lane and you know what your fee is and you're traveling, and perhaps there is an accident and you end up being delayed, again, an hour or hour and a half, is everyone still going to be subject to pay that that toll fee, or will they waive that? I'm just assuming that there would be a lot of frustration amongst travelers if they choose to pay and then they get held up and have just as long a commute because of an accident or whatever.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we're trying to emphasize is the tripper liability. If you're going to be asked to pay a fee for this, we want to make sure we provide you a reliable trip. So if something was to happen once you pass underneath the toll gantry and your tag was read or the picture of your license plate was taken, we have 24 hours to nullify any toll collections before that is processed. So if there was a problem in there, we're going to make sure that we wipe all toll collections clean in and around the time of that accident so people don't get charged if they do not get that reliable trip through the corridor.
All right. That's actually all the time we have. We are really sorry if we didn't get to your question tonight, but you can still leave us a comment or a question at the end of the call. So just stay on the line. I know we didn't get to everyone, and we apologize for that. On behalf of our panel, and the Colorado Department of Transportation, as well as HPTE and Commissioner Mock, we thank you very much for participating, and we hope you have a good evening.